So, hi everyone. How have you guys been doing? How are you doing, Can Deniz?
Thank you for asking, Elif. I am not having a particularly fun day. I had to wake up somewhat earlier than I would have liked. But besides of that, it's a very nice day outside. How about you, Enes?
I think I'm doing just okay. It's a nice day. I woke up early. I did so many things, so I'm happy about it.
Just for once, I want people to, when I say how are you, respond, I am having the worst day. Why are we recording today or something on that vein? Binali.
I'm not doing great, but it's kind of inevitable. I am afflicted with the modern plague, COVID. This is kind of the best day of my week so far because I've been much worse in the previous days, but I'm hanging in there.
Get well
Get
soon.
well soon.
Indeed, what else is hanging in there? It's a foreshadowing. And Elif, how about you?
What?
I'm doing well. I mean, the weather is cloudy, but it's been sunnier these days. The days are getting longer. The flowers and trees are a little bit blooming, so I start to see a little bit more green outside, but today is cloudy and drizzling.
So you can tie in your Martinichka, is what I'm hearing. And finally, İzel.
By the way, did you know that Martinichka tradition is
Getting protected?
protected by UNESCO?
Okay. And İzel, how about you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been playing the game I have played for more than 10 years nowadays. I think it's even close to 15. I've been playing since 2008.
Whoa.
That's a long time for a game to be still going.
Yeah, I'm surprised, but I'm so glad it's still going, and I will keep playing it until it ceases to exist. And it started as a dress-up game, but with time, you had your own doll, and you would have a house for it. Like, it's real nice. And in this game, you have a suite that you can fill up with your furniture, I guess. And it's a 2D game.
Have you said the name of the game?
It's Stardoll. I think I haven't said it.
It's a good one. I remember playing it when I was a kid too. I mean,
Link in the description. They aren't paying us to say those things. This is often the case.
Its technology is a bit behind these days, so it's a bit sad, but I love that game. And during holiday and seasonal days, they would send gift to you. And for the month of Ramazan, I'm gonna say Ramazan. We
Yeah, definitely.
okay, right? Not with the D. Yeah, you
Mean,
can
we
cut
call it
this part out.
Ramazan in Turkey, and we are Turkish people, so
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. Also called iftar, and I'm gonna use our words. Okay. For Ramazan, they sent us a plate of tulumba tatlısı. And I loved it so much because I love tulumba tatlısı. I
yum.
didn't used to like it as a kid, but nowadays, like, I would be sitting, if there was a tulumba tatlısı, I would eat it. I would say this. After getting this little item,
It's a fried, like it's a special dough fried in deep oil, deep hot oil, and put it on. Like they also, after frying, they put a lots of sugary sherbet,
syrup.
syrup, and they make it like as a like a sponge. It takes all the sugary syrup inside, and
It shouldn't. That's a defect. If it
you
does that, it's a badly made one.
No, inside should have gotten the syrup. The inside should be spongy and wet, and the outside should be crispy and
Crunchy
thick.
and thick.
A bit thick. I don't like the thin ones.
All of those are true, but it shouldn't be like a sponge. It shouldn't be too sweet. Like, it shouldn't be overwhelming with sherbet. It should be lighter.
The shape looks like churros, but doesn't really taste like churros at all. It has that star tip.
Yeah. We are also, we can link the Wikipedia page and a recipe for it in the notes. So you can look at it and...
It's a really common street food you can buy, like a street dessert. You can have in small shapes. You can have it in loop.
And maybe one of our Turkish food making people has a video about this in English, and I can put that on the description. I am hoping Refika has a video, and I can. And another one-sided friend of the show, Refika Virgül, maybe has a video, and I can put it.
Yeah, like after getting this dessert in my game, I was like, I think I had pide from previous pide item from previous Ramazan. So maybe I should create an iftar table because I have been away from my family the past few Ramazan seasons. So I miss having a big table with my
it's a feast.
Relatives and family. And having a really big table full of food and pide and...
spread of Turkish cuisine.
Yeah. So I thought we can talk about these things.
So what did you put on the table?
Food!
What were there?
Well, since it's a game, I didn't have much options to put on the table, but... I can put a link to my table in the description too. But to sum it up quickly, I had first of all I put water glasses for everyone and a big pitcher for more water, and I had hurma also from previous seasons. I put it there, and I had pide, a few pides inside the paper wrapping. It's a real nice item in the game. Yeah, and what else? I've tried to find Turkish cuisine food in the game store, and I found a few different kebab varieties. I found köfte. And I found köpüklü ayran inside the...
foamy ayran.
It's an open version, so out of the large pitcher rather than the packed ones from the stores. So that's why it's, when it foams, it's so good. Out of the faucet of ayran.
Yayık ayran is the latte of Turkish, I would say.
I mean... I wouldn't necessarily call it that, but there is this place that we sometimes go and it does such a nice smoky ayran. Oh my God, it is like, oh baby. It like, it both refreshes you and has this rich texture, and it takes you to a place with a barbecue smoking in the side, with the meats turning and their fat splattering all over, and you can smell it. And while all of these are happening, even though the weather is hot, you are refreshed by the iron experience you are having along with the song. See, Elif, that's what happens when you do the thing. That's the...
So,
how the turn is started. And so, like, please continue.
Yeah, tight.
And like, iron is just a yogurt, water and salt shaken together.
But the consistency of those three elements are the key.
Yeah, like small things makes us happy.
Yeah, smoky. Yeah. I mean, not like that. It's like smoking food. Smoked food makes us happy.
Smoked food makes me very happy.
And finally, I had...
So we need an explanation.
For what?
For Ramadan. Ramazan.
Yeah, but I wasn't finished with the things on my table.
You wasn't finished.
Please
table.
Continue with the things on your table.
Enes,
you need to watch your table manners.
And I had lokma for desserts on the table. And finally, I had Turkish tea inside a tiny waste glass.
We have an episode about all. Turkish tea inside tiny waste glass. You can follow it on the...
What I wanted to do.
we have an episode about tea culture. You can listen to it after this.
Yeah, we really suggest you. It's also a fun episode.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun recording that one too.
So Ramazan, and what is related to, why is related to food that much? That's the thing that I was saying. Like, you are being quite this kind of nice for me.
Binali, wanna explain Ramazan to our foreign audience? Because you're always going around saying, I have so many foreign friends. I am like foreign relations office.
Well, I think a lot of people...
I mean, Enes, you can explain it too if you want. I'm not trying to steal your thunder, which is a type of meat.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, Ramazan is a month based on the month moon calendar, and it jumps around the
lunar
year
calendar
and moon. Uh-huh. Yeah, lunar calendar.
Because you can't arrange a meeting.
So,
sorry, Enes, please continue.
In Islam, during Ramadan month, you are fasting basically during the day hours. You like when sun shines, you can't eat, drink anything. You can't do forbidden acts, or like you can't even lie during fasting. Actually, lying is also forbidden.
Yeah, but like you weren't supposed to like lie. And
yeah, you shouldn't supposed to lie. But if you are fasting, you should be extra careful. That's the thing. That's the main thing, and it's kind of romanticized.
Well, it's meant as a like cleansing of the soul. That's the thing.
Also, it's cleanse for body and mind and spirit. That's the thing of it.
By the way, there are similar practices in Christianity and Hebrew, in Judaism as well, fasting. But differently from those, the one in the Ramadan is A, not particularly voluntary. It's one of the musts of the religion.
Yes.
And two, it is from morning to nighttime with no water or anything in between. So it's a set time. I think the Judaic fasting is more like until you stop or a longer period of time. And I think Christianity is a thing that you can just do in... as atonement to a certain act, not in a set time of year.
I think...
Can I? In Easter, also in Orthodox Christians do practice fasting, but they do not eat certain foods rather than all foods and water. Like, I don't really know which foods are exactly forbidden, but fasting can arrange differently. It can be also not allowed to eat certain things.
I mean, there are different ways to approach the concept, but in general, like Enes said, when the sun is up, you don't do forbidden actions, including but is not limited to eating, drinking, and doing mean things in general.
I think drinking water is like not drinking water is one of the more unique things, like with the Ramadan, because that's the thing that shocks people the most, even like people from other religions.
Even the water you are not drinking?
Even the water? How do you go on with, how do you go without drinking water? I think that's the one of the main differences. But yeah. Oh, another main difference is that it rotates in the year based on lunar calendar, which means that maybe you started out like fasting in summer when you're a child, and now suddenly it's on winter.
It's a 36-year cycle.
Yeah.
When I was in first or second grade, I remember the iftar time would be during our classes, because my school ended at 6 and the sun set before 6.
Oh yeah, obviously the sunset hours differ too between different seasons, so it's not just
yeah,
countries
and cities.
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. Then the Coca-Cola commercial that with the iftar table starting at one part of the country and spanning to the other end.
But like in summer,
from Ağrı to Gökçeada.
I understand the question within the country. Yes, or like so there is this very I mean, it's a joke we do in Turkey all the time. Maybe other Muslim countries do the same joke as well. There's a map of Chile, the country, and because it's so narrow, it says the time for iftar for Chile, like the entire country at the same time. But yeah, that's Ramadan. So it's for like 1 month a year, people behave differently.
That's Ramadan for you.
Yeah, that's the general gist of it. Like you can do your own research, and probably when you do the research, you will encounter what we have described also with more Arabic words, because we use the Turkish versions, which come from Persian. But the wider Muslim society words actually come probably from Arabic. We don't know how to pronounce most of these words. We had a small argument before the episode, and we decided to go with the Turkish words for
about
describing those things.
Discussions, discourse. Also, after the whole month, when the the next month there is an Eid or Eid or anything we call it Bayram
feast and sugar
and
feast.
The feast. Sugar fest.
Şeker bayramı.
This is all getting cuts.
No, it's not. I am gonna say. Şeker bayramı. Şeker means sugar. Bayramı means feast. Sugar feast.
Or Ramazan bayramı.
Yeah.
Point is, if one can easily see why food is such a closely associated concept for Ramazan, mm-hmm. hence. İzel gets tulumba tatlısı in her game for Ramazan.
We aren't here to discuss the theological aspects of it, like whether it's a...
No, we're not.
We are not going to do that here. Instead of trying to tiptoe around the topic, we are going to ignore it completely, and we want to talk about the cultural aspect of it, like how people, like what people associate with Ramazan, because it's, as Binali said, it moves around the year. So you can't just say, oh, in Ramadan we eat artichoke all the time, because it's usually not the season for artichoke.
And
I mean, obviously with greenhouses, you can get stuff around the year right now, but most of these traditions are quite old. Involving, but is not limited to Hacivat ve Karagöz. Link in the show notes. And most of these traditions, because they date way back, we weren't able to put seasonal food. Actually, that's the problem with all Islamic rituals, because they move around the year. You can't associate agricultural products with them, like
that's
you would do in Thanksgiving or such.
Yeah, but also, I think a lot of them has things that are already associated with them that are not agricultural. Like obviously, I'm not gonna say Eid. Feast of sacrifices associated with meat. For obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Ramadan has a plethora of like food it is associated with. Maybe this changes over the map, but like obviously we have pide. Yes, you can make pide any time of the year, but it is made during Ramadan.
And it's a different type of pide too. Like it's a specific size, specific shape and thickness, a dough. It's not a classical pide that you get from kebab next to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Flatbread with a flatbread that has maya in it.
Also yumurtalı
yeast
is only
egg
in
one.
Ramazan, like with the egg.
Yes.
With the egg wash on top.
Double pide with eggs.
Yeah, you can always eat pide with all different kebabs, but the Ramazan pide is a kind of difference. It is with because of the yeast, I guess. Is it? Also the egg.
Obviously, different kebab places have different priorities when it comes out.
Or maybe we can say, after quite long fasting day after at the night, it tastes different. Maybe we can say that.
No, it is made different.
No,
it will be no longer the Ramadan. So, yeah, we can say those things, and it will be fine.
And at least in Turkey, you wouldn't find it in the bakeries outside of the Ramadan season. It's not really that common.
It is similar to pumpkin spice latte, as I love saying, because you only see it for 1 month, and then it's like it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist, and it can't be done in other seasons. Like, you can make pita whenever you want, but
They will not do it.
Yes, that's crazy. That's insane.
I mean, the thing is, if pita was not closely associated with Ramadan, and if it was just made like the entire, like all the bakeries in the world just make their 10 like types of bread, and they also make pide all year round, mm-hmm. then I don't think there will be this like insane queues for pide during Ramadan, which I don't know how many of you participate in that.
You cannot book it. That's the thing. You cannot book from your local, you cannot reserve 2 pides for dinner from your local bakeries.
No, you have to be there and you have to grab it. You have to wait in line.
You can't even grab it in the morning because it comes afternoon. So you can't go to the store in the morning and get some. You need to be there for the queue.
You would not grab pide in the morning. You have to get it while it's hot out of the oven.
Exactly. Right out of the oven when it's hot to the point that you cannot really touch it.
Yeah. I am not saying that's what I would do. What I'm saying is you can't even if you wanted to.
Sen soğuk pideyi savundun.
Take it out and show it.
Yeah, you want it to be hot, so during the iftar, you can put butter on it and it would melt.
Yes.
Oh. Also, the leftovers pide in sahur.
Also, one of the other things that, like, in iftar, there are different type of iftar tables that you can create. And
let me, Elif, interrupt you because I want to say one last thing about pide. And there is also this vicious cycle about pide. What happens is one day in Ramadan, you buy too much pide and some of it remains. And that the next day, you eat the stale pide from yesterday while buying a fresh one.
This goes on
for an entire month where you always buy fresh pide but never eat it. And you always eat one day old pide.
Mm.
Oh, you have the opposite. You have the opposite cycle. This is my cycle. One day you buy too much pide, so you have leftover pide. Next day you go buy the fresh pide, and when iftar comes, we fasted all day. We're not gonna eat the stale pide. We have to eat the fresh one. The stale one stays in the back, so it stays for another day. So next day you buy the fresh one again. Mm. We fasted all day. We have to eat the fresh one again.
No. You don't do that. You eat it at night before going into fasting.
No, we're going to feast all day. No.
Fighting over everything for the past 2 years in this podcast, this is what's going to break our friendship.
No. You know what happens? That the stale pide goes to the birds, man. You put them, you mush them.
No. Stale pide goes to the birds. Thank you, Elif. You do not eat the stale pide at night because you're going to feast. You're going to fast all day. You can't fast with stale pide in your stomach.
No, you are going to make it like you put it in. Drip it into egg washed, whatever it is. I'm so raised and I can't understand anything at all. How are you wasting so much pide?
It's not a waste, it goes to birds.
My family enters the competition with a whole other contender. They eat bazlama for supper.
Whoa.
Oh my god.
Okay. Everybody's minds are blown.
Bazlama might be superior than pide, but you can have it all year round. So that's why pide is more special.
Yeah. Bazlama is not special.
No, bazlama is special for its local thing, for Ankara especially. It's like an Inner Anatolian tradition. mostly.
Yes, so but it's not special than, to Ramadan.
So the different iftar
tables. Yes. Can be a little bit different depending on the season, like we talked, what it's on the table will change. But also what you eat changes, meaning that because pide is such a center in Turkish iftar table, sometimes you want to highlight in such a manner, you just create a breakfast table for iftar. And that will mean there wouldn't be that much meat or soup, but a classic breakfast, a Turkish spread breakfast. And then you will literally have breakfast with tons of different jams, different eggs.
Eggs, breads.
Can we talk Tilbush?
Yes. Is that just dug her own grave? Explain Tilbush to the foreign audience, Zal.
Okay, it's egg inside yogurt. Like the traditional way is what was it called?
Poached egg.
I don't
know.
Poached egg. Yeah. Okay. Poached egg. You poach some eggs and you put it inside the yogurt, and you would put hot butter.
It's kind of like mantı, spices on which is the same concept.
Tomato paste, is it?
Yeah, like the type of topping you would have with mantı, but it's on poached egg instead of mantı.
Yes, and it's great. And it's such a nice summer iftar food.
Yeah, that's also another type, like tons of jams, spreads, different cuts and different, olives, olive oils, butters, cheese. Tons of different cheese. And you all eat that with pide. You just make sandwich over sandwich over sandwich. And
mini sandwiches. Little sandwiches each time. Like bite-sized sandwiches.
And it's just great. And that's my favorite kind of iftar table. But yeah, like another kind of lore in Ramadan is when you get old enough to do the first fasting. And that's also another kind of like a story being told over and over again on the table from your kids to your grandparents or your general parents. Everybody has that kind of like a memory.
Let me be the old person. Let me be the old person. Oh, where is our old Ramadan days? We were so passionate about it. Nowadays, kids don't even like acting in how they should
behave. They don't even fast anymore. But
I cannot believe we went 40 episodes. By the way, this is the 40th episode, right?
Yes, it
is.
Yeah. Yeah, 41 times mashallah will be next episode. the coffee we drank in the first episodes, hatır, has just expired. But we went all 40 episodes without being cancelled by old people. So Enes is here to set the record straight.
Did you how to do the old man was?
But yeah, and one of the stories that old people tell is, the first time when I had to do fasting, this was a specific food break my fast, you know? Like, because when you're a kid, you don't really have that intuition and, I don't know, like, strength in you. So sometimes things get even more tastier or smell even more tasty, and certain items you forget. Sometimes you forget that you are fasting and things can break your fast. And those specific items are always, at least in my family, I brought into the table during Ramadan. Like, this was the one. Let's eat it now. So for my mom, for example, it was roasted leblebi.
Chickpea.
Leblebi in roasted peanuts. Chickpea.
Chickpea.
Yeah.
It's a kind of roasted chickpea. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, roasted chickpea is very nice, especially with like honey.
We are eating it like a nut.
And it smells so good when it's roasted, and it's a street food. So that was for her was the food that kind of ruined her first fast. I think for me it was chocolate. That's what I remember. I was in the school and I forgot that I was fasting and I went to the canteen and bought chocolate. But like I cried so bad, man, like that disappointment also hits you in a different way. But you know, then I kind of gave up on the religion, so it doesn't matter.
Also, I mean, but, you know,
that's also harsh transition, though.
Izel is very similar to you. Izel is also a perfectionist. Whenever something goes wrong, she quits the thing too.
Oh my god! No.
Yeah, I don't have. Okay. I don't have Easter like twist. That because I gave up on religion before I started fasting. Yeah.
I mean, Elif,
what I was gonna okay.
There are 18th century Enlightenment philosophers throwing their books away from the table when they learn this. They're like, have we done all this work for nothing?
Yeah, but that's also another fun Ramadan lore.
But like, what a naive of me that I was thinking about, like, there is a transition period for children, like, when they are, like, not developed enough to fast throughout the day. They were also, like, making, like, there is a tradition of half day
child
fasting for children.
Child fasting.
Mm-hmm. Child fasting to make them kind of get used to the thing and mm-hmm. get in, make them involved. They make them past maybe until breakfast or lunch.
Lunch so, is usually like until
lunch
noon. Is
usually.
The,
after, what noon. Was the afternoon ezan called?
İlkinde. The
no,
first.
That's the morning.
Öyle.
Öyle. Öyle.
I mean, afternoon ezan is afternoon. The one between night and afternoon is ilkinde.
Sabah, öğle, ikindi, akşam, yatsı.
Yeah, yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, okay, that's one.
I have more beard than Binali. Why are you doing this? There is this Turkish phrase that goes, you wouldn't listen to me because I don't have a beard.
I think we also mentioned that in previous episodes.
It's also it's not a sexist thing, though.
It's probably not sexist. It's probably more of a ulema relationship with the regular people. Like, you would, because you have a beard, you would be an expert on religious matters. That's the assumption behind the... Anyway.
Okay.
But yes, child fasting is a thing. And, you know, in Turkish culture, children are very encouraged to fast. In fact, yes. It is treated like if you are man enough... I am sorry, this is sexist. But I'm a boy. Maybe girls have something similar to. If you are man enough, you will survive until the iftar. If you are not man enough, you will give up and fail and cry.
Are you a little
so
boy?
So because in order to prove that you're a man,
you can't
you
fast.
Don't eat or drink.
Oh, poor
yeah,
little boy.
About children fasting, my grandma always said on the last day of Ramadan, the Arife day, even the birds fast, she says.
Yeah, I mean, like, I grew up in a secular family, so we were also usually just like, oh, the first day, let's participate. Not the last day. Okay,
lot of leblebi eaters in Elif's family.
So, you know, like, it's kind of like Christmas. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be a fully Christian to celebrate Christmas. And in Ramadan, my parents were like, you know, sure, let's participate.
Maybe don't speak this too out loud when you visit Turkey again.
Yeah. But yes, like, in general, the month of Ramadan is the time where people act one step more religious than they really are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if people don't go to any namaz, they start going to Friday prayers. If they go to Friday prayers, they do all prayers. You know, stuff like that. They increase their religiosity for a notch during Ramadan, which is the...
Patch update. I mean, Ramadan month came
but
in.
That's how I would explain
Muslim
it.
Religious participation level increased. 10%.
Oh, similar to that, but contrary to that, do you know what gets more secular each year? It's dates.
The keto,
like
perfect dessert for any health, well-being.
Extra
individual.
Green, vegan, healthy, sugar, refined sugar free.
That is true. Dates are definitely getting more secular and more mainstream.
I mean, I love dates, by the way. Date is one of my favorite things. Like, I use dates before going to the gym because I wake up and I go to gym before breakfast. So I have a date and go to gym, and then it's very, like, it keeps me during the entire gym experience.
You know what's best with dates? When you split up a date, take the inside out and then put peanut or hazelnut or almond in it. That's like double trouble.
Bomb.
Yeah, my roommate
it's either called atom
cocoa,
or bomb.
Cocoa powder inside dates.
You know what's even better than a date? It's a romantic date.
Oh no!
I had to. I'm sorry.
It was bound to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, let's talk about Coca-Cola.
So
the transition could be like, you know, those are the things that we usually have on the table, but what's the drink? So we talked about Iron, but the what's the second drink?
You are being very optimistic about the editing period. What's going to happen is I am going to keep what is our sense.
Yes.
because we cannot think, we cannot do a better transition than, let's talk about Coca-Cola.
No, that was perfect.
But I think someone was going to say something else about the previous topic.
You have?
No.
I mean, I was going to say, maybe. It's
you have just Doğan Şentürk, the old topic. Old topic no longer exists.
Yeah, what about cola?
I'm sorry, Enes. Okay, you might be thinking, you seem to be doing Eurovision podcasts these days. What's made you change your mind to do not another Eurovision topic? Actually, this is kind of Eurovision topic because have you watched the which country was it?
Armenia.
Yeah.
Juko.
People are saying their music clip is like the Ramazan Coca-Cola commercial on Twitter.
A big table full of people around.
Yeah.
Celebrating.
The exact same thing last year with Albania. Long table. People eating.
Perfect.
Family members.
Village.
And whenever such imagery pops up, every Turkish people around our age will immediately go, oh, this looks like a Coca-Cola commercial.
Or Cola Turca commercial.
Cola Turca commercial is a whole other beast. We may make an episode entirely devoted to Cola Turca commercial.
And let us know if you want to know more about Cola Turca.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if you want us to talk about Cola Turca commercial that is in America where somebody yells potato onion from the street. And it tells the journey Cola Turca is better than the... Anyway, many people will know the reason why Santa Claus is wearing red is because of Coca-Cola branding. And this may be true for some extent because in other countries, the countries that are not Turkey, possibly Coca-Cola does the exact thing they do to us as well. They completely try to take over Ramazan culture. With their booming Ramazan commercials, they broadcasted to our entire generation that if an iftar table exists, there must be a Coca-Cola somewhere. Like
next
people are all waiting for iftar to happen, but what they're actually waiting for is for cola to happen, and then iftar comes, people start eating, cola goes all around the table.
Sharing
like,
it.
Obviously, cola has nothing to do with Ramazan, but by years and years of aggressive advertisement, Coca-Cola took over the Ramazan culture, or at least it tried to.
You know what it is kind of similar to? It's similar to Japan, Christmas, and KFC. It's kind of similar connection that's been made, at least in Turkey, that Coca-Cola really tried hard to be part of it.
I am sorry. I have to stop all of us here because we did not mention the cannons even once. And it just hit me
cannons,
while thinking about the Coca-Cola commercial. So does anyone want to explain?
So a cannon is this large tube-like structure where you squeeze gunpowder inside with some projectile. And by igniting the gun squeezed gunpowder, the projectile is fired over a large distance.
Well, you know what I meant. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Okay, fine. You missed your chance.
Shut up and listen to me. But another useful aspect of a cannon is that it is very loud.
Yes.
So what people did in olden times was...
If it's empty.
Before electricity, I mean, it's full, it's loud too, but some other complications might happen if you fire a filled cannon.
It's an Ottoman tradition, I guess.
I think it's older than that, actually. I think it's like very old Anatolian tradition, even older than Ottomans.
And cannons being used to convey information has a very long history. And But the thing is, Ottomans popularized cannon in Anatolia.
Oh, okay.
So there is that. but like old Ottomans, not the classical Ottoman period you would think of, more like the old Beylik period. Anyway, there are several ways cannons are used in Turkish culture. One is to celebrate. You would throw 100 pieces of cannon. I mean, you wouldn't throw the cannon. The cannons would be fired. They create
but
sound.
They will be empty, though. They will be empty.
Just... Yeah, they wouldn't be shooting projectiles. They would just be creating sounds and clouds.
Yes.
And another important thing is, in the olden time, I mean, still to some extent currently, large population centers would have cannons. And these cannons would be used to alert the people of the iftar time.
Yes.
Like you would have the guy from the mosque singing the call to prayer, but you would also have a cannon firing to announce the coming
because,
of iftar.
Because in the old days, obviously, that's like that guy singing isn't going to reach like all the town.
Also, there is a functional thing behind that. The cannons are mostly in castles in the cities, and Turkish castles are mostly on top of the hillsides or mountains. So it also sees the sun setting. So the person who is on the castle, who is on like, who can see the sky very clearly, sees the sunset. So they fire the bomb. That's the functionality behind that.
Also, if you mention that, we also have to mention the davulcu.
I thought about that.
Yes. So basically...
Can is about to get very angry.
There's a bit of a drama around this. drama.
Not all traditions are good. Not all traditions are good.
Somebody else can explain this one. I already explained the canon.
Okay, here's the explanation. This is a tradition that is still being kept alive. But the thing is, normally what expected of you is go to sleep, and when before the dawn at sahur time, you wake up, you eat, and go back to sleep. And obviously, alarm clocks wasn't something that existed for much of the history. So the way people would wake up is someone would take the role of like playing a drum in the streets, like bum bum bum, and wake up.
It's a very large drum.
It's a very large drum. It's a very like
also sings in a different way, like
almost
a
like a marching drum, right?
Yeah.
Not like a steer drum, but like a big round one.
They shout manis.
They would shout small poetry.
Ramazan geldi, hoş geldi.
You're not giving it soul, Enes. Ramazan geldi, hoş geldi.
I couldn't remember.
Okay, nobody remembers the second line.
Nobody remembers the second line is this is not a, like, there is not a set of money that people just read. There is not one set of money everyone reads. It's a creative output.
Yeah. Improvised poetry.
it is improvised poetry. Whatever they're gonna read, they read at their own like leisure, at their own preference. So there is no set of something to remember.
So you know, having foreign TV shows and movies, sometimes they go to poetry night in library, and there's this little drum, and somebody does poetry, and then they go to tick tick tick tick.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar to that, but like way more
loud.
Like the poet with the drum comes to your house. That's the type of vibe you would have. And they are just as invited usually.
It's not like an open mic, but it feels like an open mic.
I mean, it certainly feels that way.
Back in day, it was functional and it's kind of artistic way of doing it. But nowadays, like, it's kind of bullying.
Nowadays, it's capitalism.
Like, many people will agree with me. Like, there is no artistic element inside anymore.
No, it's not even bullying.
People are just doing it for the money.
Like,
it's money. It's for the money.
Yeah, they're begging for the money. And
no, it's not even begging for the money.
They aren't begging for the money. They are threatening you with a drum hammer with the money.
And like, we can't really know who they're assigned by. Who are those people?
Sometimes the neighbor decides to hire.
Playing the drum?
Okay.
We don't know.
I know what happens, and I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
What happens is, the municipal government opens these ihale for different neighborhoods, and people bid on those ihale. I don't remember. Like there are auctions, and the winner does the neighborhood. What they do is they give some money in advance. They do drumming the neighborhood, and then they come asking for tips in order to make a profit out of their bid.
And there are a lot of incidents of like people spilling into other neighborhoods. The fights of happening over there. This is a whole like mafia level thing.
And fake drummers too. Like people who aren't really your drummers coming to ask for tips.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But speaking of money, back to Coca-Cola.
I mean, like in any religious or any kind of tradition, capitalism has to come in and take and create profit somehow.
Okay, hang on.
You exploit people's sense of festivity with the Ramazan capitalism. Because like hurma isn't cheap. All hurma is imported. Hurma isn't locally grown in Turkey. So obviously the date importers, they fill their pockets. Drum people fill their pockets out of traditionalism.
Okay, I'm going to say one thing though. I do agree that there's a lot of exploitation, but there's one distinction I want to make. Drummer people are not capitalists. they're just mob. That's another type of exploitation.
Capitalism is mob rule of mob.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as how to
turn tables. How to turn iftar tables once again.
I am the local capitalism hater here, and that's a different type of exploitation. Not every economic exploitation is capitalism. But the thing you said about dates is really funny, because like I don't know how familiar you guys are with this. If you go to a bazaar around like Ramazan time, or like go to any type of like Akhtar, you'll see signs of like Mekke hurması, Medine hurması, çekirdeğinde Allah yazıyor.
Okay, you need to translate this. I can't. You need to translate this.
You'll see signs like this as like
holy
from
dates.
Mekke, from Medine, in like the stuff like when you eat it in the bit it says Allah. Like this type of like marketing around like religion, as if like some type of dates is.
But Mecca and Medina is a type of date.
No, it is. But the way they market is like, as if it is like more religious to eat those dates
and holy
because
holy dates.
Because yeah, calling them holy, calling them sacred, like that's what I mean.
Oh yeah, and like what I say is most brands, even though they are secular brands, let's call them, Actually, there are Ramadan campaigns where they are trying to promote some of their goods as Ramadan related, or maybe they launch a seasonal product. Like one of our favorite bubble tea vendors actually has a special Ramadan drink that they do, where they start from cherry and cinnamon base, and they put tapiocas that are glowing like gold in them so that it would look like Ramadan imagery.
Bubble tea, Ramadan flavored. Get it
by
now,
the way,
your local
Elif
store.
Elif says capitalism. I say commercialization of Ramadan, not capitalism of Ramadan.
Okay.
Really
no,
I may have said it wrong, but that's what I have in mind. Commercialization.
No, that's
capitalism.
I just want to make the distinction of like I don't want to box all the problems into one box and blame that. I am open to multiple boxes to blame. I'm good. I have a lot of blame to pass around.
I completely agree that there are at least 3 boxes worth of problems in the world. Maybe even more.
Perhaps.
One of the other things that happens during Ramadan is a fast food chain will have iftar menus that you can get them from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere will have Ramadan menus.
And all the restaurants. Funny. It's funny. No, not even all the restaurants. Even the chains.
McDonald's.
Like, tell me why.
Burger King.
Like tell me why Cajun Corner makes an iftar marketing. Who is ordering Cajun for iftar?
I mean, because for food chains, for restaurants, Ramadan is a terrible time because people are, one, not eating during the daytime, and two, are having large family dinners with food they prepare at home.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They are in trouble in Ramadan.
I mean,
similar
like,
to Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Where I live in Bursa, usually fast food restaurants go into tadilat. What was it?
Repairs.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
Maintenance.
They close the store and do their maintenance whole month.
Well, it makes sense because in Turkish culture, even if you're not fasting yourself, you usually avoid like eating anything outside out of like respect to other people because you don't want to be like, yeah, I'm just going to like, most of the restaurants will close their like, even if they stay open, they will close like their outdoor sections because they don't want to like openly sell food to people while like fasting people are just going over the street.
I think it is very similar to how you wouldn't want to eat a meat product with a vegan friend.
Yeah.
Like that's the type of like you whatever feeling you associate with that situation is the thing that happens. Like maybe you can associate it with respect, maybe you can associate it with feeling of society, and maybe fear of reprisal. But like that's the general feeling of not eating outside during Ramadan.
But yeah, that's why it's like it's expected for them to exploit the iftar part of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, like Candide said, they're not going to do much business outside it during Ramadan.
Another aspect of Ramadan tradition is people are encouraged to be more charitable. Like one of the explanations, even though this is in no way theological, one of the social explanations of why people fast is in order them to better understand the condition of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the time of Ramadan is also closely associated with charity.
Yeah.
One such practice is... Please continue.
Oh, I was going to say one like aspect of this is, for example, we said like how in Islam this is a must. You must fast if you're a Muslim during Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're unable to due to like illness, sickness, or like any other circumstance, then what is expected of you is that you take care of one other person's Ramadan expense instead of you fasting. So that's the part of the charity too. Like it is very much like inherent in the Ramadan culture.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was going to say.
So not every Ramadan tradition is not capitalistic.
In fact, it is quite the opposite. The social harmony inducing.
It's opposite. I would say capitalistic parts of like exploitation of the holiday, not the like inherent parts of it. I think Ramadan is very communal practice because I think, okay, we have this like tradition of iftar tents.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Where if you're like we said, yeah, you usually have an iftar dinner with your family, a large one, like with your extended family, etc. But if you're unable to, or if you're willing to, there are like iftar tents where they give out food, like to people who can't afford it, to people who want to eat with the community. So I would say Ramadan itself, as a religious, like it's not a holiday. It's like a really as a religious month is a very communal, very like harmonic tradition. I would say mm-hmm. it's very anti-capitalistic actually, which makes it ironic that like a lot of companies mm-hmm. try to exploit it. But that's kind of the name of the game. They're gonna exploit everything, so obviously Ramadan is not gonna be exempt from that.
I mean, they will attempt at least.
Like, yeah, they will attempt.
The amount of success they achieve while trying to exploit local traditions is up to you, dear listener. But meanwhile, I completely agree that Ramadan, in particular, and religious practices in general, has this aspect of trying to harmonize the society, like trying to, I mean, even though they don't directly address income inequality, they try to keep the, at least keep the poorest people in a good enough situation that they wouldn't revolt. And many traditions associated with Ramadan also can go back to it. And it isn't just about poor people being able to eat. Like during the Ottoman times, in the evenings after iftar, after iftar, there's a special type of prayer you would do in a mosque. Mosque, it's called Teravih namazı. And after that, there would be celebrations in the city. Like I already kind of mentioned Hacivat Karagöz is a type of theater, and there are other type of street theaters that are traditional to Turkish that aren't very well kept right now. But they were much more common back at those days. And people from different walks of life would join in these celebrations and, you know, generally mingle and interact with each other. And they would be like eating around sugary, sweet things and in general having fun together. And I think even for like currently, iftar tents are organized by municipal governments. But before that, mm-hmm. they were probably organized by rich people or type of vakıf places. Like
still, it's also
still two probably.
Yeah, also like they don't only give to people who can't afford. It's kind of communal thing that is open to public. So actually, no mm-hmm. one knows who is poor or who is kind of. It's an open event.
I mean, it is generally understood that very rich people wouldn't attend, but even that's not a must. That's just the type of thing you would think.
When I was in Bursa, one butcher shop has put tables in front of their store and made a huge iftar dinner for people.
But yeah, that's the even though it has a lot of commercialized aspects, in its core, Ramadan is more of a social event. Like the type of mm-hmm. event that would generally increase the harmony in a society. And yeah, and after 1 month of fasting, you end up with a type of religious celebration that goes for 3 days. And everybody knows what, like in people generally, children go around houses asking for candies and people eat lots of baklava and type of heavy sweets.
Kind of like Halloween, but without the costumes. Sukkerfest!
And yeah, we end up with Sugarfest.
It's time for the Sukkerfest.
So, Ramazan. So, a Ramazan tip for you. You should not shop during fasting because you might get lots of sugary sweet things end up in your basket. So what is our own basket is our social media channels that you can subscribe. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, X, TikTok, or you can write our subreddit, and please do so.
It's a charity month.
Ramazan is the month of sharing. So please share your thoughts.
We are sharing these links.